We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Kelly.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Coming up on this week's program, we'll have our weekly conversation with Mizzou football coach Barry Odom. His team lost to Kentucky 15-14 on Saturday on the game's final play. We'll also talk basketball with Missouri senior forward Kevin Purrier. The Tigers open the season coming up on November the 6th, hosting Central Arkansas. Let's get things started after this from Shelter Insurance.
That's the secret phone.
The what?
Remember, I told you my dad's a shelter agent. When that phone rings, he rushes out to save the day. Whether someone's home or car gets damaged, my dad is always there to help. He has the coolest job ever.
Well, my dad's an astronaut.
That's cool too, I guess.
Find your insurance superhero at shelterinsurance.com.
Mizzou's football team fell to 0-4 in the SEC, losing to Kentucky on the game's final play. An untimed down with no time remaining. Kentucky converts on a two-yard pass, and Missouri falls to 4-4 on the season. Here's my weekly conversation with Mizzou football coach Barry Odom.
That was one that will sting for a while, won't it?
You know, you go into each game and you go through the week of preparation, and then you go have the ability to go execute and get down into a game like that. We knew it was going to be a close game, and to come away short in the ways that we did, for a football team, guys, I hurt for them. This will be one that it sticks with me forever, and I know it will a lot of guys in the locker room.
I know you've watched the game probably several times by this point in the morning. So as you look back on it, is there anything you'd do differently as a staff?
Oh, I think you look at, the punt return for a touchdown. Obviously, was a huge momentum change. We were not good in a lot of areas on that. If we would rather punt the ball, away from the guy, that would have been a wise thing to do in that situation. We had decent run time. We didn't get off blocks and get down the field. In that situation, and then going back and looking on the final drive defensively on the field, I thought that we started out, had a sack early on, did a good thing there. The one seam throw that really hurt us, got them down the field, and we didn't get enough depth by underneath cover zone guy, but also we didn't get any hands on the route, and so he had a timing route with the ability to get the ball down the seam just behind the linebacker, just in front of the safety. And if you have an opportunity to reroute the guy, then the timing's thrown off. He's probably going to go somewhere else with the ball. So those two things you look at that, structurally, we got to make sure that we get that fixed. And obviously, crucial time of the game that hurt us.
That was the sliding grab on really a heck of a catch by their wide receiver, Bouvier. But then on the next play, the check down to Bowden on the left side that he's able to take down deep into your territory. You had five defensive backs back deep in kind of a picket fence type of look. Give me philosophy, what you're thinking at that stage and why that look.
Well, I want the ball to come out quick, and I knew they had time for two plays. I didn't want to have an opportunity where they threw it in the end zone twice. I've run that, started running it in probably 2012, that particular call, and it's been good for us every time. And again, I knew they got some yards out of it. That's fine. Line up, play the next snap. You knew they were going to have time for two. Rallied, made the tackle, whatever yard line it was, and then it came down to the last play. Should have been the last play of the game, but ended up being two more plays.
Yeah, right. The pass interference called in the end zone against their wide receiver, when it was basically just throw it up to the back pylon, resulted then in the untimed down in which they got the game winner to Conrad, the tight end. Just what did you think about the coverage on that play, what eventually was the game winner?
I thought we were in pretty good position. I thought more than anything there was a route where there was contact made at the mm-hmm. at the goal line, and push off technique by the offensive guy, and he got himself in position to make a play.
Visiting with a Missouri football coach, Barry Odom, his team loses 15-14 against Kentucky yesterday. Okay, let's go back to your final possession, and I know you've answered this question before, but third and two, less than 2 minutes to play, you elect to throw the football, and again, just philosophically, what were you thinking about at that point in time? Some people think run, but they did stack the box on that look.
Well, we had it was 1:37 on the clock. We just ran the ball, got down, and it was third and a long two. I knew we were going to get nine guys in the box. Would be my anticipation. A route that we've worked on from day one is two of our best players. Ball in the quarterback's hands and trying to get a quick out to Jonathan Johnson, who is a 1-on-1 matchup, isn't usually in our favor every time. With the concept that we had called, it was a rollout. If the easy throw, the out route was not there, then we were just going to tuck the ball and run. And so we had design within the play call. If it's there, take the easy throw on the out for the first down. If not, run the ball. And, we converted the route a little bit deeper than it needed to be. And then we ended up throwing the ball. The thing that if we would have run the ball, they would have used the timeout. So we would have gained that in our favor. I don't know, with nine guys in the box at that time, if I like the numbers match up and what we like play call wise was what we called. And it'll roll out. We got a run pass option with that if the route's there. Nice, easy throw on the out route. And if not, Drew tucks the ball in this run and gets what he can get.
Did Kentucky do anything differently defensively other than really start to control the line of scrimmage in the second half than they did in the first half?
Schematically, no, they really didn't. I mean, there were a couple of different things up front, but not enough that equated to us having no mm-hmm. first downs.
And then, the other thing, too, that you look at is that they were really successful in taking your tight end out of the game. What were they doing specifically with Albert O?
I think, on the line of scrimmage, doing a lot of things to keep him on the line of scrimmage, number one. And then, there were multiple times. You know, any time that he was flexed out, you know, he had you know, at least two guys giving him attention and in coverage. So limited that a lot, and we couldn't get him in space to find a way to get him the ball because of the way that they were playing him. And you know, we've got to continue to work to try to do that. We're limited a little bit with injuries on, you know, Howard played a lot of snaps, and Sam Bailey did a nice job stepping in. You know, he's our backup guard. We put him in an eligible number, and he played the number two tight end. Brendan Skill stepped in and played some. You know, with Kendall out, that affected the game plan just a little bit. But those guys that stepped in, they did a nice job in what we asked them to do.
You did a nice job, obviously, defensively against Benny Snell, holding him well below his season average. However, Wilson throws for 267. Just a thought on the way that your back end did from a coverage standpoint.
Minus one, you know, really one play, the deep, you know, the over post route,
sure.
You know, the one that was completed there, that hurt. But other than that, I thought, you know, the one that, you know, on the first drive when they went through the screen and he broke tackle and then reversed his field, you know, that was the other really big chunk play offensively for them on the passing game. So thought we did some good things, mixing in some coverages you know, they were mostly all defended plays, which is a move in the right direction.
Thank you for your time today. Big one coming up next week. Another opportunity as you head to Florida to take on the Gators.
Thanks, Mike.
One of two seniors on Mizzou's basketball team, Kevin Purrier, is getting set for a big year, his final one at Mizzou. Earlier, I had a chance to visit with the native of Blue Springs, Missouri. When I say this is your final season at Missouri, what's the first thing to cross your mind?
I think everything that I overcame just to get to this point. My first couple of years of college were definitely a lot of things that I learned from, and wasn't used to losing as much, but you know, it definitely made me a better man, and definitely taught me some things that I can apply to my life.
You've seen a lot over the course of 4 years, haven't you?
Yes, quite a bit. Lots of different teammates, and you know, just a lot of adversity. And you know, now that I'm here now, it just makes me super grateful that I overcame it all.
Describe what this summer was like for you in terms of getting prepared to play your last season in college. What were some of the things that, as you looked at it, you wanted to become better at as a player, and some of the things maybe you worked on from a physical standpoint as well?
I really just wanted to get in the best shape possible. You know, knowing it was my last season, I really just wanted to put my best foot forward and, you know, really just get ready for battle, honestly. Get ready to bang with, you know, some of the best players in the country and also battle in the best league in the country. So I knew that going into this past summer that I knew I had to be on my P's and Q's.
Isn't it amazing the transition that's taken place in this league in your time in the conference? I mean, the first couple of years you were here, you knew that there were a couple really good teams. Kentucky was really good every year. Florida was really good. There were a couple others, but now top to bottom, this league is terrific, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I believe this league at first, my first couple of years, I think it was very top heavy. And now we're talking about possibly 10 teams making it to the tournament this year. So I think it goes to see, you know, how much talent there is in this league and also how good of a job that coaches do recruiting the talent to the school.
When you arrived, you were kind of thrust into the spotlight right away and asked to do a lot of things as a freshman. Looking back on that, how much did that help prepare you for this now, your senior and final season?
You know, being thrusted into that spotlight my freshman year definitely taught me a lot of leadership qualities that I still use today. You know, a lot of freshmen don't really get the opportunity to do so. So, you know, me being in a leadership role for 4 years, I think that's really awesome. And, you know, something that also is very useful for, you know, whenever I'm done playing basketball, working with other people, working for a company, you know, potentially owning my own. But I think it's just taught me how to deal with different types of people and, you know, learn how people operate. It, you know, really taught me a lot.
You and I both, I think, have the same feeling that when you think about the injury to Jontay, the first thing that crosses your mind, you should think about Jontay. But putting that aside, what are some things that people on the outside don't know about this group that'll take the court without Jontay?
That we just have a really resilient and talented group of guys. We still have a lot of height and a lot of talent at the guard positions. So I think we have a really well-rounded group. Like you said, of course, it's very unfortunate what happened to Jonte, but you know, we faced a lot of adversity last year and overcame it. Had a good season and made a tournament appearance, our first one in a while. So we're just looking to continue to build on that.
When you look at your game, and you've had the ability to obviously score from the outside, you're expanding a little bit, hitting more three-point shots. Just where can you, I guess, as a player, be more effective for this team?
I think in all facets of my game, I can be more effective. I really haven't shot the ball as well as I really wanted to my first few years here and this past summer. And, you know, even now I'm still working to get better range on my shot. And it's been going well so far. And I'm looking to really just give my team, our coaches, our fans, everything that I have for this last year.
Tell me a little bit about what you've seen in the growth of Jordan Geist since he arrived here.
Really just his vocal leadership. You know, since when I got here, he really wasn't a guy to speak too much, but now he's really a spokesperson, one of the spokesperson for our team. And just to see his growth and, you know, even him being on the SEC Leadership Council, like that's a really a big step for him because he, you know, was kind of shy and not as vulnerable at first, but now he's very vocal. And, you know, even in his game, he's just developed a really, I mean, he's always been a tough player, but, you know, he's developed to a really good player and somebody that I think Missouri fans will remember for how gritty and tough he is.
Yeah, certainly that. Of the young guys, the newcomers, who's captured your attention the most?
Well, I think they've all caught my attention. They all bring something very, very unique to the table. But I would say Javon Pickett, just his work ethic and, you know, how dedicated he is to the game. You know, he's at the gym every morning at 6:30. You know, working out again at 11 and still practicing. So just the amount of effort and dedication he puts into this game, you know, there's no choice but for him to reap the benefits of that. And, you know, I'm just excited to see his growth over the season.
Mitchell Smith is a kid that you've seen in this program for a while. Just describe what type of player is Mitchell for those that haven't had a chance to watch him play because he's been so limited from a game standpoint because of injuries.
Yeah, he's been out. I want to start off by saying that's my roommate, so I'm out. I'm around him quite a bit. But you know, just he's a very tough-minded player. He's able to put the ball on the floor, get to the rim. He's a really good offensive rebounder. He's very active on the ball and somebody that can switch onto a guard and guard. So, you know, when he's in the lineup, say we have me, Jeremiah, and Mitch in the game, we can switch, I mean, 4 to 5 ways just because he's so versatile. So I think he brings a lot to the table as far as versatility.
If I say Jeremiah, you say?
I'd say that he's very tough, very physical, very, I don't know, I mean, he's goofy, of course, off the court, but, you know, when it comes to playing basketball, you know, I could see him developing. And last year I could tell, you know, when he would foul early on, he would get rattled and, you know, let plays that he didn't make too well bother him. But now I can see the maturity in his game and he's just really getting a lot better developing as a young man and also developing well as a player, too.
And as a player, you guys as teammates, I remember on multiple occasions, you know, he'd get into foul trouble. You guys were the first ones to kind of grab him and just kind of try to pick him up. I mean, that's something that's very important too, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, when one of our teammates is down, it's our job to pick our brother up. We really pride ourselves in creating a family environment. And I think Coach Martin, the coaches, and us as players have done a good job of making everybody feel involved and making everybody feel welcome.
You came here to represent the state of Missouri, and you obviously have done a terrific job over the course of the last 4 years, and now you move into your final season. As you look back on this, is there something that maybe stands out more than other experiences that you've had?
Like I said, I think just me overcoming everything that this program endured the first couple of years, I think that you know, speaks volumes. You know, after my sophomore year, it was really hard because we didn't really have a coach and I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. But, you know, in my heart, I knew that I never wanted to leave Columbia. I really love this place and Columbia's treated me well. I love the people here and just all the relationships and friendships that I've built throughout my time here has just been remarkable.
How much easier is it as a player knowing expectations in year two of Coach Martin's program as opposed to last year when you're trying to learn as you go along?
It helps a lot. Last year, we were kind of learning on the fly with Coach Martin. Didn't really know what to expect from him or didn't know what he expected of us. But now that we have a full season under our belt, You know, as senior leaders, me and guys can pass on what we know to the younger guys. And we know what coach expects. So, you know, sometimes coach really doesn't have to say anything. Me and guys will be the spokesman and, you know, point it out ourselves. So I think in that aspect, we've done a really good job thus far.
Thank you for your time. Have a great senior season.
All right. Thank you.
That's Kevin Puryear. I'm Mike Kelly. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics with Mike Kelly, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.